Thank you, Ms. Oksana. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight, Psalms 55. Psalms 55. And we're going to talk tonight a bit about privilege of prayer. I probably won't be able to finish it. I'll just really just kind of hit the points I think is important, and then if we get there, we get there. We're not, we'll go home and enjoy just being together. But I think that some things in here would be good to get a hold of. And Psalms 55 is a good psalm, and where David pours his heart out. And I don't know if I can probably told you this, but it's just I like Psalms. I know it's kind of redundant, because like every book I open, I start saying the same thing. Because when you're studying, it's sweet. It's so good, you know. But Psalms is a book that they're pouring out their hearts. It's like a glass window, and you can kind of see. Do you ever just read it and you start noticing? You can look in and say, "Well, you know, I understand David." If you're like, "Why does the heathen get this? And why they not? Look, I mean, don't you watch DC and say, look what they're doing, God, and why you're blessing them? They're sitting around and driving nice cars. They have all this stuff, and they're just so wicked. And we're trying, you know." And they say the same thing. You just got to see the end, you know. And that's why I like Psalms. But Psalms here, David is showing. And look, in Psalms 55, verse 16, it says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." He shall hear my... Listen, he's talking about privilege of prayer. David understood that. And he comes with this confidence in this situation. He says, "I will pray and I can cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." That's powerful. I just like it. Boy, this Word of God is just powerful, ain't it? Just what he just gets you. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word now, Father, help take me out of the way, Lord. And just help me just share the word and God, and help me just not be so emotional about it and excited, Father, but just help me just teach some things in here, Lord, that we can apply and remember your promises and your words you've given us, that we can see that we really have a privilege more than we really realize it, Father. Now, Father, be with each one of us, Lord. I thank Miss Jean, Father. I pray you help her, and Miss Joyce, Lord God, and help old Benny, Father, his feet, and help him get better, Lord. But God, there's so many other needs. But we just want to tell you we love you and help with these situations, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the context in Psalm 55, you see verses 1 through 14, you see David pouring out his troubles. He's kind of giving that context of what's going on. I mean, but let me tell you this, trouble is not just the enemy outside. Look at verse 12. He says, listen to what he says here. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me." Then he said, "Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou," he's talking, I believe he's telling that person, "is thou a man of my equal, my God, my acquaintance?" And he said, we took counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company. Listen, he got hurt by someone. Someone says it's Absalom or Ahithophel, the counselor that, remember, he betrayed David and gave counsel to Absalom. It could have been him. It doesn't matter, but it was somebody close to him. It hurt him deeply. And then verse 15, he gives him the doom of the wicked. They let let death seize upon them and let them go to the quick into hell for the wickedness in their dwellings and among them. He's giving it, but in verse 16, then we see he's feeling downcasted, he's hurt, but he sees the privilege. "But as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." You hear the sweetness of it, and the struggles it turns at that moment. He looks all the things that are upon him, and he's hurting, but it, when you look at situation and circumstance come in your life, it's difficult. Don't matter if it's bitterness or just struggles. Or like the situation that trial, it comes upon it and it's heavy. And if you focus on that and all the negativity, boy, it just blows up. And I just think of that. I don't mean to pick on you, Brother Peterson, but I'm just kind of thinking of that because, you know, I think of little things like that. Sometimes it's heavy upon you, and like it's not working in my schedule. You know, it's not like somebody done me really wrong and really hurt me, or the violence. It's just a situation, the troubles.
But it flipped. He turned it, didn't he? He went to God. And that's a privilege we have. We can go to God. And he goes, that's the thing, is that privilege, 1670. Too many of us forget the tremendous opportunity and glorious effects that we can go to God. We have this unequal value that the earth, no matter what you can get in earth or maintain in earth or what can somebody offer you in this world, it doesn't equal to what you got in prayer. Think about that. That's volumes of greatness and of opportunity. You have prayer. Listen, I'm not talking about the prayer of these people in this other religion. I'm talking about godly prayer. I'm talking about the biblical prayer where you go to God. It makes a difference. We'll look at some things here. But we'll look at why it's a privilege of prayer. Look at verse 17. Again, it says, the evening, morning, at noon, I will pray and cry. Listen, he had access to God. That's why it's nothing that you have access to an almighty God. Who created this world? God. We're having access to that creator. We have access to the one that says, I knew you before the foundation of the world. Listen, he chose you. He has a purpose in your life. He saw that purpose. He had a purpose in you, a purpose for you, I mean. And then the thing is, we have that when we can go to him, we have that access, the Almighty, the Elohim, the Jehovah, the self-existent. We can go to that one. Think about that. What a privilege. What a privilege anybody else got than that? Really? Psalms 115. You can turn with me. That's what's going to take so long because I'm turning a lot. Psalms 115 is a psalm that he says, he gives in verse 1, it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sakes. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Now, he said, given what reasons should the heathen say? This is an urgency of prayer. They want God to vindicate himself because they're saying, where is God? I mean, have you heard that? Not that exact statement, but, well, you know, where is God? Or, you know, God says this, I will do my thing. And what is that to me? It doesn't matter. Listen, this is the same God we pray to that opened the Red Sea. This is the same that opened Jordan River. It was flooding over the banks and the toe touched and it opened up and it rose up a heap and they walked on dry ground. Same God. This is the same God in the plagues of Egypt. This is the same God that created the world. This is the same one. And they question. He says, show you with this urgency. But he goes on, it says verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, and the work of men's hands, and they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. And it says, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Think about the mouth. They can't promise nothing. The ears, they can't hear my petition. They can't hear my cries. They can't hear the words I'm saying. The nose, they don't smell the perfume, the sweet smelling they offered unto God. And listen, they have hands they cannot handle. They have hands that cannot reach or take. They have nothing to give to me. They have feet that they can't stand. They have to be braced against the wall. They got to be tied down or they'll fall over. Listen, he can't come to you. Listen, this is the God that he cannot speak or utter the things of telling me he loves me or cares for me. That's the God they worship. He says they're like unto them. That God is a dumb God. He can't see or hear. He's a dumb God. He said, you're just as dumb as they are. Listen, that's not the God we pray to, do we? We pray to Abba, the one does hear. The one has hands with strong hands and comforts us and arms and protection. I mean, we're in his hand for protection and security. We trust that. Think about that. Listen, he hears and he hears my cries. We were praying. We were at the throne of God, all of us collectively and spiritually. We were there. He was listening. Unless he wasn't praying. Think, God is involved with me and you. Stop and think. That's the privilege, is it not? What a privilege we have in prayer. Listen, notice who we're praying to. Ephesians 3:20, it says, now therefore, what does that say? Now, I didn't write it down. I knew I should have wrote it, so we'll get messed up. Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we think and do, or do and think, something like that, according to his riches. That right there. Able, I can think. More. Listen, what? Imagine what God could do. Does that say he could do beyond that? Can imagine what he can do. Does that say he can do more than that? That's what he said. What a privilege. You get to go to a God that really can do that. This grabs the thing. We have a privilege. So the question, I guess, let's get to the point. Why don't you pray? Why don't we don't believe that verse? Listen, we're not praying to a dumb God that the world says. They go and have smoke, they have dance parties. He went and the lady says, I can't go to your church because I'm a dancer. Where's your God? Listen, they don't grasp because they're dumb as that God is. They can't see, they can't grasp it. There I was, not being mean, but I was the same way. I remember a preacher coming to my house and said, they say, you bow your head and you get saved pretty much. I said, okay, but I didn't pray. Why? Because I had a beer party to go to. That was my God. By his grace, he saved me. He could allow me to die that day. I said no to God. I was just as dumb as everybody else. Listen, Isaiah 40 verse 12 says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted our heaven with a span? It says, and comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountain in scales and the hills in a balance. Our God can. He holds the whole world. And listen, the span of his hand from the middle finger here, the universe. I believe the heaven refers to the universe. It always speaks of three heavens. The heaven where glory of God is, the heaven of the universe, and the heaven the birds fly. But you know, I think when God created the heaven and the earth, it's the universe and the earth. Listen, he holds, I believe, the span of his hand, the universe in his hand. That's how big my God is. He's a great God. And what a privilege I get to go to that God. Amen. Okay, look at this. What a privilege he will listen to me. What a God. I mean, you see how hard it's going past this? Because you just really think about who this God is and what a privilege we have with this God. Colossians 1:16 and verse 17 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Listen, the earth holds because he let it consist. The waves don't pass the law because he consists. The stars don't fly where he holds everything to consistence by him. Listen, there's so much oxygen. I'm not a scientist, but I took little classes. Man, so much oxygen, so much this and all. It's a poof. Everything's ordered. I would tell you, can I remember the name, sister? God controls everything. The waves are by law a decree to hold back. Our God is a great God. Listen, we have allowed access to go to him. That's where David says all his troubles, and he gets to go to this God. You know, he brings us in his presence. In Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, we can come to him. Therefore, you know, in the context, it's saying it's a great high priest that cannot be touched with infirmities, and he understands, but then he says, therefore, let's come boldly. I say there, let us therefore come boldly because he is a great God. And he allows us that access. Come boldly to him because he allows you. He wants you to come. Come boldly. Ephesians 2:6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm in Jesus Christ. When I got saved, when I pray, that the Son intercedes for me, and the Father listens through the Son. He hears me through the Son. He hears me. He allows me access to him through the Son. What a privilege I get to go to his presence. Here's a illustration article I came across. It was interesting. It really fits in. He said there was a story, a little boy in London who wanted to see the visit the king. He says, however, the gates were closed and he could not get into the palace. The guard told him he could not come in, and suddenly a well-dressed man came along and asked the boy what the problem was. The boy said, I want to see the king. The gentleman said, well, you just come with me. And he took the boy's hand, and he led him to the king. The guard even sprang to attention, presenting arms as they passed by. The little boy had taken hold of the hand of Prince of Wales, the king's own son, and listen, and he gave him access. That's interesting, isn't it? Do you know, and there's a tribe in Africa they call a boma. It's a fence. You see those stake fences are kind of round, and they got families that lives in there, and they bring in the certain animals in that they have, and they keep in that section there because at night there's lions and bears and tigers, lions, you know, stuff like that, right? Well, to get access to the father, for you go to him, the son lives in the front. The missionary was trying to win that tribe, and he had to get to the father, but he'd go through the son, get permission through the son, and he got through the son, get to the father, and he began to explain how their culture is, how you get the father through the son. Ain't that interesting? Listen, we get to access to the king by the son. He grabs your hand just like Prince Will took that boy's hand. You come with me. And the guards walked on by. Didn't question. Because he's with who? The Son. Don't tell me there's something compared to a power of prayer that's compared to this. There's nothing. And he's given it to you. What a privilege that we have. Listen, we have the royal access. The kings were largely unapproachable. Remember the story in Esther? Let's go to Esther chapter 4, verse 11. Let's go to verse 4, verse 11. Esther, remember the story that Haman is going to kill all the Jews, and Mordecai comes and tells her, and he's fasting, he tells her what's going on, they're going to kill us, and it's important. And in verse 11, it says, and the king's servant... I hope this is the right verse here. Yeah, all the king's servant and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king's, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king's these 30 days. Now she's telling him that, listen, you know I go, and he doesn't hold that scepter, I'm dead. And you know, that time, she was a woman. I was talking about Miss Rita, talking about women. Listen, they didn't value women at all. She was the queen. They didn't care. You remember the other queen, they wanted to dance around and all that. She was a puppet or just a show. Listen, she goes and he doesn't know, she's dead. This is what gets me, though. When she goes and she stands there, and the king looks and he sees her. He knows the law. He didn't call. Well, it's powerful, the story. He holds out the scepter, right? She gets to come in. What really touches me is this, that this woman comes and she walks up to the king, and she lays her hand on the scepter. And I always say, that's powerful. That scepter is the power to have the killer. Or live or die. And she touched that power. You know, the thing is, I think about God, the power and holiness of God. I get to have the power and ability to go to God. I could touch that scepter because he bid me to come. He allows me to come and approach him. Listen, it's the most powerful thing. And she didn't come, you know, just like it's no big deal. It was she knew God's grace was involved, but she went and touched it. Listen, it was a royal invitation. The king invited her in. Listen, God has invited us in. Listen, Psalms 50, verse 15 says, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify. He says, and thou shalt glorify me. Think of it, God wants you to come. This is the royal invitation. The king didn't ask her to come. She took that chance, but I always see the story where she touched the scepter. There's a power that could give her life or death, and she came, and then she was trusting the providence of God that this only thing they had, they prayed about it. They fasted for 3 days trying to say, let's get together because we need God involved. But listen, God is not, we don't have to pray and fast and say, can I get a hold of God? God says, come. You're in trouble, come. Come. The Creator, the Almighty God, come. You can be in my presence. Let's go see Trump. We live in D.C. You think we just ride up there and go see Trump? No. Can't even go see the governor, can you? Who's the governor? He's just like one of them dumb idols, ain't he? Oh, me. All right, prayer allows access to God. And this is a privilege. Prayer also is available to all the believers. Look at John 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. I like using verses that y'all never heard of. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, the thing is, it's available to us. Prayer is not just it's an activity for spiritual giants. Like you think of like E.M. Bounds or George Mueller or John R. Rice and the old men that really pray. There's a story about John R. Rice and Jack Howells, and they were preaching. And John R. Rice, it was raining, so John R. Rice prayed and asked God to stop it from raining so Jack Howells could preach, and it stopped raining because it was hitting the tin roof and all that. And John R. Wright, Jack Howell said, he came up to him and says, now it's your turn to preach. He said, now, all right. He said, I stopped it from raining. Now it's your time to stop it from raining so I could preach. Man, that's powerful. I can't. These men believed it, though. But the thing is this, they don't have to be a spiritual night. It's available to all of us, no exception. Available to these little girls here. This one here, she's so involved in it. She's meditating on my preaching right now. But she's available, is it not? You don't have to be a spiritual giant. Listen, the prayers are effective by simple, ordinary people. How about, have you ever heard of a woman named Hannah? Hannah? Remember 1 Samuel, she prayed? What was her great prayer? Do y'all remember? She just prayed and poured out her soul. Say, God, she wept, she was hurting. Says, you give me a son and I'll give him back to you. It was nothing special. Who was she besides that? But God answered a prayer. It was powerful. She was barren. About the publican. Remember the publican praying? He said, standing afar off. And he says, would not lift up so much his eyes in heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And yet God heard him. He said he went to his house more justified than the Pharisee. He was just an ordinary guy. He was a sinner, if you please. I mean, it's just what I'm saying is this, that the access available to all believers. Listen, you don't have to be some great person. You don't have to have some great standing. The thing is, I have the same God. I have the availability to go to God. Listen, I can get the same things they got. What about Elijah? Elijah's a great man of God, is he not? Paul is a great man of God. Peter, listen, who else? Think about Elisha. Think about Moses did some great things. These are great men, did some great things. What's the difference between us and them? God gave them a specific task. What's your task? You got a task that God's given you that nobody else may have. But the thing is, opportunity to pray to get a hold of God. Saying, what about the dying thief? Remember he says, and he said to Jesus, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. What great prayer was that? He believed and he trusted, but God heard. What I'm saying is this, that our prayers are available. What we have as a prayer, as a believer, we have privilege to go to him, but he hears our prayer. He's concerned. Never say that I have no right to pray or God doesn't care. He wants the family to pray. He wants the community to pray. He wants the church to pray. The privilege is for us, but it deserves to be exercised. If you don't exercise it, you don't exercise the privilege. Do you have the privilege to drive in this country? Is it a right? But you have a privilege to go to Almighty God. Is it right for everybody to get a hold of God that the heathens don't trust Him? But you can, because you're in the Son. How about this? The prayer anticipates God's answer. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, call on me, all this, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Is that a true statement? He said, you call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Is that true? I have that privilege where I can go to God and listen. Should I anticipate God to answer my prayers? That if I'm praying to Him and I'm going to Him, does He hear me? Listen, I'm going to Him. I know you say, well, what about this or this circumcision? If you're doing asking for a lust, asking amiss, or you're asking for your own desires. But listen, what I'm talking about, you go to God and you're praying and say, this is what you want, this is what you desire. I'm asking, this is a need. Or listen, we're praying for people who need help. Lord, we're asking. Get involved, and listen, we should expect answers from anticipate God answering. Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And notice the promise there. He says, before they call, I will what? Answer. Before they call, I will hear. Is that telling us anticipate that He's going to be involved? And listen, are you wasting your time praying? So be answer this: what hinders you praying? What hinders you your relationship? Now think about it, because I know that we all have struggles. I struggle with it. My prayer life is not struggling. Listen, of all the years' experience, I don't care what church you go to, you'll find people struggling in prayer. Why? Sin, unbelief, and things. Okay, we can work on that, can't we? At least we know, we see it. Let's work on those things, right? Mom's got problem health problems. She knows. She got this diabetes. She got things. She got now. She knows. She sees. Now she can work on that, right? Bubba, buddy, he's got this problem. He knows the situation. Doctors look at it. They at least they know now. They can work at it, right? What's your hindrance to your prayer life? You have the privilege, you have the availability. God says, I want you to come. He says, I know what you're going to ask for. I'm willing to hear it. I'm going to answer it. Now, God lies. I will show you great, mighty things. But you've got to be a great prayer warrior. I mean, you see the simplicity of the praying. Listen, God is trying to get involved. Let's get involved. But He hears our prayer. There's confidence. John 14, 13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, if I love Him, I'm going to search His word. If I love Him, I'm going to try to keep His commandments. It didn't say that I will fulfill and do obedient and be never sinned. But listen, I love Him. I'm going to say, you know what? I want to do right. Have you sinned in the past week and said, you know, I messed up, God, forgive me? Have you seen, you see you messed up, you don't want to, but you go to God and say, okay, I messed up. So you do love God and you want to honor God and you say, you know what, I did mess up, forgive me, and you keep going on. But listen, if you want to pray, He says, you ask in my name. Listen, you just search and love me. The thing is, what a promise I got. I got confidence that He's going to hear me. This is that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How about God desires to answer our prayers more than we want them to answer? You ever thought about that? He wants to answer our prayers more than we want prayers answered. Luke 6:33 says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? This is what brought my thought on this one. And it says, in Matthew it goes on, it says that, you know, don't that thoughts for tomorrow. Don't worry about the thoughts and all that. But Luke says this, right after he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In verse 32 it says this, fear not, little flock. Because remember, don't worry about the clothes and this stuff here, the things and all. He said, don't worry. You seek me first. I'll take care of those things for you, right? But he goes, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. What is it? Your good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to say, I got a struggle here. I'm hurting here. Or I got this. And, you know, the thing is, I think of Brother Peterson. Well, that's a job. It's not like a major thing, but it is the major thing to him. To me, it would be. But you know what, God? Maybe God said, you know what? I want you to see it, and now I want you to share with me at this communion. He says, now let me show you something. Let me show you something I can do. But he wants to show his good. He says, listen, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants to multiply. Do you think God loved answering Jesus Christ's prayers? Didn't you think he just said, well, here's Jesus, just like everybody else, ask me everything. He wanted to be involved. Our life and sin just wants to separate from God. We'll just do it ourselves. It's not that way. We're supposed to be part of it. He wants to be part of us. Listen, this is why prayer of faith is possible. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Or Matthew 21:22 says, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Listen, Dad, this ain't the same God that wants to answer our prayers. He said, you ask and receive. 1 John 3:22, and it says, whatsoever we ask and receive of him, because we keep his commandments, that's St. James, John 14:15, then do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Listen, he wants to answer our prayers. He wants to get involved in our life. So the privilege of prayer allows me access to God. It's available to all of us as believers. He anticipates that God is going to answer. This privilege of prayer is getting more powerful and more powerful. What God wants me to be. He wants me involved. He wants to answer prayers. He wants me to get involved. How about this? He achieves the impossible. Matthew 17, verse 20. Remember, they were coming down the Mount Transfiguration, and there was a man that had a son that's fallen into fire, and the disciples prayed, and they couldn't get him out. They're trying to take the demons out of the boy, and they couldn't. And they said to Jesus, verse 20, it says, asking why we couldn't cast him out. In verse 20, it says, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountains, remove hence to yonder place. It may remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible. Listen, I can live a supernatural power in a natural world. I mean, Elijah, remember when he prayed, he prayed in 63 prayer, and it was 63 words, and he brought fire from the sky, and it lapped up the water and the sacrifice. And it was no great prayer. We think of some, it was just asking God, you show yourself, and God, I'm trusting you, and I'm asking you to do that. It's simple prayer. Remember, Abraham was able to talk to God, and it's about Sodom. Started with 50 people, and he went to 45, then to 40, all the way down to 10. And he says, you know, I'm dust and ashes. I came in this world dust, and I'm going to turn into ashes. But would you listen? Will you hear me one more time? And God did the impossible. Negotiate with God. Remember Moses pleaded and advocated for the children of Israel. He said they made the golden calf. And he said, I will wipe them out, and I will just take you, Moses, and create another. And he could have. And he talked to God and made an advocate. And God says, I repent, I change. He changed his judgment because of him, what he pleaded for them. The impossible with man, but it's not with possible with God. Listen, God, are we living impossible lives? We live in a life that really are abundant. We can do great, mighty things because we have a great, mighty God. It ain't that our abilities, but we have a God to help us. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe this church could do $100,000 in missions? It's hard to believe, ain't it? But why would it be? Why would it be? Because of our abundance, I don't have a pay raise. Is that what missions is about? It's not about how much money in our pocket, in our checkbook. Because if it's that, then folks, I don't need to be given to missions. If it's that, I don't mean to do those things. But it's dependent on God. How about the thief on the cross? What an impossible prayer he did. He asked God, remember me in a dying situation. And God, it's impossible. At the last minute, the 11th hour and 59 minutes, or whatever you want to call it, before he dies. And God said, you'll be with me today in paradise. Listen, prayer of faith saves the sick. Bible says, the Lord shall raise up him up, and it shall be committed sins. They shall be forgiven. Listen, a prayer advances the kingdom. Let me go here and we'll close. Let me go here. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica and says, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, brethren, I'm coming to my end of my final conclusion. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Listen, that free course, the idea of the run without any hesitance, no obstruction, and free is rapidly. He says, be glorified. Listen, the word of God may be glorified. In verse 2 it says, "And that they may be, that we may be delivered from the unreasonable wicked men, for all that have not the faith." And he's in the church. He's writing to the church of Thessalonica. But he's in Acts chapter 18. He's dealing with the situation with Corinth, and he's going through troubles, and he's talking about who they are, what was going on. They're wicked men, unreasonable. But listen, God says, "Tell them to stay there for a year. I got many more souls." But what I'm saying is that prayers are effective, and God wants, there's need of prayer, but it's essential. But the thing is, when I'm praying here in Zachary, because Paul said, "You're in Thessalonica, I'm in Corinth, you pray for me," and God was going to be able to do so, give me a free course. God can answer my prayers. So if I'm here praying, I'm praying for people in Burma, missionaries in Burma, or praying for missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and then I would say, I don't know, anywhere. This Boswa, is it Boswa with Africa? Yeah. Can God not hear my prayer? Can I intercede for that missionary there? Listen. If prayer advanced the kingdom, that this have a free course. The people get saved. Listen, it talked about Matthew chapter 6 about pray in the closet and God will hear. Well, the thing is this. Prayer says, "I can't, but I know one who can." If voting is a privilege, and we say you need to take responsibility and vote, prayer is a privilege. Don't you think you need to take that responsibility and pray? Ain't that important? Ain't it more important than vote? My prayer can make a difference than your vote. Because my prayer goes to an almighty God that can change and move men's hearts. A king's heart's in the hands of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whatsoever his will. Your vote counts but one. My vote counts, my prayer goes to an almighty God, and it counts for all. And you have that privilege. Are you using that privilege? Are you taking advantage of that privilege? Are you saying, it's not important? That's why we struggle. That's why we struggle. We've got to start believing these basic scriptures. Let's all stand heads, bows, eyes closed.